Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it is game week.
What?
On Sunday, we will have a game, so we're going to get into preview mode. I am your host, Teron Davenport. You are now talking with TD. We got Elijah Campbell hitting the switches, making it all happen. We're going to bring a player aboard for you this week. We got Monty Rice coming on to talk a little shop, so definitely look forward to that. But as I said, it is game week, so you know what that means. Phone a friend is back. We're going to go to Arizona and bring in Cardinals, ESPN, Arizona Cardinals, NFL Nation reporter Josh Weinfuss will have him. But first things first, we're going to get into the breakdown. Just take a look at some matchups. Elijah, can we get that music? What are we? For who? Yeah. Yeah, Run TMC. You know you hear that music. That means we are going to bring in Chris Sanders. Oh, hit that guitar for me.
You don't know about that, man.
Yeah, I know plenty. So there goes the music, right? The team ran out of the locker room.
Yes, sir.
The lights dim down as the music fades away. We can get that music. You know how it goes, right? And now, starting for your Philadelphia 76ers at forward, number 45, Clemens Johnson.
And now, one of the Jackson Five.
Oh, Tito.
Jermaine Jackson.
Oh, man, you gonna call me Jermaine Jackson.
Couldn't even get it out, man. Jermaine.
Gregory Abbott.
Yeah,
roses are red and violets are blue. I'm going to rock this world with you.
Oh, dude, I couldn't even get it out because, man, he got the finger waves.
He did have the finger curls, man. What's going on, man?
Man, you good, man. You ready for the season start, man? I'm ready to roll, man. I'm excited, and I'm ready to get after this thing, man. What about you, boss?
Absolutely, man. It's really awesome for me just getting back on the schedule. Like, I'll know when Wednesday is Wednesday. I know Thursday is Thursday, so on and so forth. Like, I've been really discombobulated over the last month or so.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. But, yeah, man, right. Sundays, they matter again, you know, being able
do.
To – go and see a game. So I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, this week the matchup is with the Arizona Cardinals. And I guess what we'll do, like we'll run through some of the key matchups for each of us. And I'll start it off. And for me, you know, I think – and it's going to be the same next week, actually.
Yep, absolutely.
And I think really the first matchup for me is going to be just that defensive line, that front.
Yep.
And being able to have that disciplined pass rush. With Kyler Murray, you know, and I'll just kind of veer off to leave some space for you to chime in on this one. But, you know, I talked to Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst on NFL Live, you know, and I got to talk to him about just, like, how do you go about defending a jitterbug like this? You know, and he said it's a lot similar to basketball, right, where you have a starting five and each guy has his own role. I thought that was really interesting because I didn't look at it that way. But, you know, when you look at the tiered pass rush, right, you got one guy running deep, another one not running too deep because you want to just kind of like layer it and be able to contain all of his rushing lanes. So I thought that was a key matchup. And then more importantly, you look at Kyler Murray and his stature, right? He's not the biggest guy. He doesn't have an absolute over-the-top type of throwing motion like Russell Wilson does. So that leads to passes being broken up at the line of scrimmage. 16 last year, that was the second most in the league. Jeffrey Simmons, you know, he should be out there like Godzilla. You know what I mean? Wrecking shop. So we'll see what happens there. But the thing that I like is seeing them in practice, they broke out the kickballs again, you know, and they're working on disengaging and getting the hands up. and just being active with it. And right. even if you don't knock it down, you give him like you clog up his passing lanes and make him possibly have to recoil that so that way one of the other guys could get home.
Yes, if you look at a couple of years ago, I mean about 3 or 4 years ago when the Tennessee Titans played the Baltimore Ravens, and I know everybody's been saying this, but if they do the exact same thing they mm-hmm. did to Lamar Jackson, bottle mm-hmm. him in, yeah, he's going to get his yards. Yes, he's going to be explosive. Yes, he's going to do some good things. But if you can bottle him up and make him make bad choices, that's going to be the key. But the only thing about it is Kyler Murray has some weapons. He has some weapons. He has some dogs. He's got A.J. Green. He has Hopkins. He has Isabella. He has Rondale Moore, guys that he can throw it to him, as opposed to the Ravens, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when it was just Lamar Jackson and no receivers. That's
yeah.
the difference.
Yeah.
But if you can just bottle him in and have him make mistakes, then also, too, man, you said something so key is Kyler Murray is not a big dude in stature. So when he throws the ball, we got to bat the ball down.
Yeah.
Even though that sounds kind of corny or just coach talk, that's huge because now they're behind the chains. So if mm-hmm. the Tennessee Titans get Kyler Murray behind the chains, then now they panic.
Yeah.
If they panic, then now you can sick them, and then also the guys in the secondary can cover those wide receivers.
Yeah, I think that's critical. And actually moving to the next matchup, that's the one that you know is really intriguing to me because – when you talk about the receivers, right? You mentioned Rondale Moore. You mentioned Andy Isabella. I almost said Danny Amendola. I mean, they're very
right.
Similar looking. I'm not going to say similar players because Isabella, man, that dude's a dog.
He
got some speed, you know.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at that, right? Chris Jackson, he was limited in practice on Wednesday with a hamstring. A hamstring issue is not something you want against that type of speed.
Stop the fight.
Yeah, exactly. It's suicide. So I think when you bring Elijah Molden into the mix, you know I'm very high on Molden, but I just wonder if they run those vertical routes from the slot with Isabella and Rondale Moore, you know, now do you get into a situation where you have to have the safety help over top? That means you got one-on-one, you know, and they're saying A.J. Green, you know, there's like cocoon, right? Like he dipped in that pool and he's found the fountain of youth, you know. And then you got DeAndre Hopkins, who we know is one of the best. Was it Coach Vrabel today? I think it was Coach Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might have been Christian. I think it was Coach Vrabel where he joked about it's almost like he gets better the closer the coverage is, you know, so there's a lot to really try to handle there. And then having the plaster, right? Because the play's never over with Murray, you know, so now you got him able to extend plays, go off schedule. And I think one of the most creative and effective off schedule receivers in the league is DeAndre Hopkins. Like how many times you see him running a dig, slam on the brakes, reverse and go upfield or just like change his direction. You just can't cover that.
Yeah. And then also, I know this is a fun illustration, but have you noticed when you get in trouble with your mom, she says this. She says, stay home.
Yeah.
And that's what the secondary has to do.
Yep.
Even though you kind of may look like he's in trouble, stay home. Stay with your guy. Stay in your zone. Stay in your third. Because if you come up and they throw it to Hopkins and it's a jump ball, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. So I just think that they got to stay home, stay in your lanes, and don't panic. Just if he starts to scramble a little bit, let the defensive line take advantage of it. Then when he crosses the line of scrimmage, then you cover. So I just think that all around the Tennessee Titans are gonna have to play smart. And I'm not saying that they're doing anything wrong, but they gotta play smart to know when Kyler Murray's gonna run and when he's gonna pass.
And I think when you're going against a guy like Hopkins, you know, that's so strong and able to go up and get it, I think that whole idea of fighting all the way into the tuck. It's critical. And I mean, it's critical every week, but I think it becomes a little more critical because this guy is just able to consistently win those jump ball type situations. So that's definitely something to focus on.
And then also, too, this is what we're not really talking about. You got A.J. Green, you got Hopkins, you got two guys that are bitter. And when I say bitter, because what they keep hearing is, oh, these guys are getting open age. A.J. Green has consistently been hurt. You don't think these guys have something to prove?
Mm-hmm.
And you got guys got something to prove, and everybody's talking about A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, being one of the best tandems in the league. You don't think that those guys are hearing that to prove it? Whoa, 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 whoa. I've done this thing. I've played in big games. I have made the Pro Bowl. Don't forget about me. I'm over here. So it's going to be a sight to see when they go against those receivers.
Yeah, because so much attention is being paid to Julio Jones at 32 playing. Well, A.J. Green is the same age, you know, and he's on a new team also. So that's going to be something to watch. But you mentioned A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. So now you look at that going against, you know, Byron Murphy, Robert yep. Alford. Hey, I drew it up, Whiteboard Wednesdays. You know, first play of the game, like what I'm doing, hey, look, we're going to play action and we're going to go deep and we're going to get two either to the end zone or it's going to be a big play. That's what I would do. Yep. But nevertheless, that matchup, I think, is very – it's something I will focus on. And even if, you know, Marco Wilson comes in, whoever comes in, like, I personally like the Titans receivers against their top three corners.
Yeah, but then also, too, we're forgetting about the Arizona Cardinals don't have a shabby running game. They got Edmonds and they got Connor.
Yeah.
James Connor. So it's not, they got some firepower now. I mean, I know a lot of people around town because I've been hearing it all day, yesterday, and the day before. Oh, it's just the Arizona Cardinals. You know,
they're dangerous.
Short. Oh, they're dangerous now. Don't get it twisted now. I mean, this is explosive offense. They upgraded on their defense. They got what is it, Zaven Collins from UCLA? UCLA, him, a linebacker. So, and you got J.J. Watt that still feels like he has a lot in the tank. He got a lot to prove in bringing his leadership. Hey, come on, man. Don't get it twisted. This is a good team now.
Yeah, and even, you know, they had interest in Collins, the Tulsa linebacker. They had interest in him. So, definitely, and you know, when I look at those guys, right, this is an interesting week for the tight ends, right, for Firkser. Because you got Isaiah Simmons, who, man, that's you talk about a cover linebacker all day. You know what I mean? And Zaven Collins is kind of like a jack of all trades. You know,
he
has like that Kyle Van Noy type of vibe to him. So you see those guys going against the tight ends. It's going to be interesting how they work that. And then even with the numbers, you know, I asked Ryan Tannehill about that. You know, just you got nine's the mic, you know, 25's the mic. Mm-hmm. And he said that it can get a little tough, right, because you're used to certain jersey numbers being, you know, identifying who the linebackers are. And then also he had mentioned, like, you know, looking at the personnel. So, like, with Isaiah Simmons, you know, you're watching film, you train yourself. And I just think it's interesting because sometimes you get comments from fans that you know, I coined the phrase when I was in Philly, arrogant ignorance, and you get that from them. Like, oh, well, you know who to block. Well, look, man, like when you're watching film and you're training your eyes, you're like, okay, I'm used to seeing 45. You know what I mean? And everything, and you know, because you've been there and done that, you know, like everything, like it's all about, like, you see visions of stuff, right?
Yeah,
so like you see 45 all week in film. Mm-hmm. And then it turns into nine. It's like, oh, hold up a second. You know what I mean? So I think it's interesting, just the whole number change and how that can impact things.
Yeah, but I think that what can help, and this is real critical, is Ben Jones is playing center.
Yeah.
He calls out the front, and that's really going to help Tannehill to understand what they're doing on the back end or what they're doing on the second level with the linebackers. So if Ben Jones can relay that, what they do, they communicate with LaJuan and Stafford, all those guys. If they say, okie, you know, stack, well, whatever the front is, then now there's only so many things you can do playing linebacker if they understand the front.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point, and that's something that goes under-recognized, you know, how critical the center is to making those calls as well. I'm looking forward to watching this matchup. The guys up front, right? This offensive line, right tackle is still a question mark. Is it Quisenberry? Is it Sambrilo? Is it,
know.
You know, Kendall Lamb? We'll see, but daggone, whoever it is, right? You're going to, and they'll switch sides. So that means, you know, you're going to go against J.J. Watt sometimes when they line him up, you know, in like five tech. You're going to go against Marcus Golden, who, man, that's a heavy-handed dude,
absolutely.
Right? And then you're going to go against Chandler Jones too, and you got length and explosiveness and athleticism there. What is your outlook, you know, with these guys going against that right tackle? We know the matchup with LaJuan is going to be a good one, but right tackle.
I mean, it's going to be physical because that was one of my points, man, to where whoever the team that's going to win is the team that controls the line of scrimmage.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's just what it boils down to. I know it's coach talk. I know it's cliches. But the team that's going to be physical, the team that's going to control the line of scrimmage, that's the team that's going to win. And I don't know who's going to be in that position to do that because you got Saffo, you got all those other guys that's been in there. But if you keep switching different guys, then sometimes you lose the camaraderie. Sometimes you lose the communication, and those are the things you can't do against this front. Because even though a couple of these guys wasn't here last year, they played with each other in the preseason. But, man, this is a fast defense now. Mm-hmm. And you better believe, you better get ready, because if you don't pick it up quick, man, it could be a long day for Danny Hill.
Yeah, and I should slap myself because I allowed this conversation to go this long without mentioning that daggone safety by the name of Buda Baker. Lord have mercy. You know, that dude is all over the place. And this is the guy, actually, that I compared Elijah Molden to. You know, a lot of people made the Honey Badger comparison, and I just, you know, I think that's a bit lofty.
Yeah.
Because this dude is like a perennial Pro Bowler, an established, you know, one of the top players in the league. Buda Baker is still ascending and getting there. But I think, you know, when you look at just the ability to impact the game from so many different places, able to blitz, you know, able to drop back single high coverage, able to come down in the box and cover or be aggressive against the run. These are all things that Buda Baker does really well. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. Another jersey change with number three, but I'm looking forward to watching him.
Yeah, you ever been talking to somebody and somebody walks up and you're like, man, quit being nosy. They all and you're busy.
Yeah.
That's exactly how he is.
Yep.
He's nosy in the backfield. He looks at what the offense is doing. So he's always around the ball. He's always been in the position where he's supposed to be because he's nosy. And you want to have a safety in that position that's always nosy, like the Honey Badger, because he's always around the ball. And when you have a guy that's always around the ball, then you always have that safe haven to know, okay, if we lose at the line of scrimmage or there's a receiver running free, that cat is always there. So it always gives you that confidence that he's going to be there.
Absolutely. So that being said, predictions.
Oh, stop it.
Look, man. I'm going to go with the Titans, but I think this is going to be a shootout. I'm going 35-27.
I'm going with, I agree with you, Tennessee Titans. I would say 35-28.
There you have it right there. Chris, I appreciate it. And this is what you're going to get each and every week, ladies and gentlemen. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with our next guest.
Get-er.
Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
Well, welcome to the Teledome.
All right, back from the break. You hear that music. That's exactly what the Titans are going to be saying to the Cardinals on Sunday. Welcome to the Teledome as they come to Nissan Stadium. And ladies and gentlemen, this is what we do each and every week. This is an advantage of rocking with TD. I got connections. I have teammates in every single NFL city because that's how NFL Nation does. So we're going to bring in my teammate, my ESPN NFL Nation, Arizona Cardinals reporter, Josh Weinfuss. Josh, what's going on?
Not too much, man. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I you know, that music right there, like, it gets me going. I don't know if it gets you going, but it makes my blood start to flow.
Dude, it's about time week one's here. So you can put any music on in that type of atmosphere, and I'm going to get going. Some Barry Manilow, some Snoop, whatever it is. Like, I'm just so pumped that week one's finally here and we can stop talking about training camp. Like, I am so ready for this to start.
Yeah, and you know what? It's crazy you say that because guess what I'm going to ask you about? Some of the things you saw in training camp. But you know what? It's all about spinning what you saw forward to what we will see on Sunday. So I guess we'll start with the linebackers because I saw you had a really good post on ESPN.com, the Cardinals page there, on the linebackers, right? Back-to-back first-round picks. You got Isaiah Simmons. You got Zaven Collins, who is a guy that the Titans definitely had a lot of interest in. What made you want to feature those two guys, and what are some of the things that you've seen from them being able to, you know, work together in a limited time they have been?
Yeah, so they've been intriguing to me since they drafted Zaven Collins, right? So last year they go and they get Simmons out of Clemson, top 10 pick, the 8th overall. And we didn't really know how they were going to use him, right? In college, he played like 100 snaps at 5 different positions. Mm. He can literally play all over the defense, except for the line. And then this year, they go ahead and they draft Zaven Collins, inside linebacker out of Tulsa. So you've basically, spent, high draft capital on the future of your inside linebacking core on defense. So I wanted to I took a kind of a deep look at what were these guys like, how do they get along, which is, the answer is great, like they're best friends off the field, and kind of what were the Cardinals doing, what were they thinking, and basically, you know, they told Isaiah Simmons last year that this was going to be his defense. So by adding Collins, it's kind of like, I don't want to say it's like the yin and the yang to each other, but it kind of is, because Isaiah Simmons is that athletic freak who can roam sideline to sideline quicker than we can blink, and David Collins is more like the brains of the operation, right? Very mature, very poised out there. But it all comes down to the Cardinals have two inside linebackers that have 1 year of experience. And one of those guys, the rookie no less, is going to be the green dot, meaning he's in charge of the defense. He's relaying, you know, the calls from Vance Joseph, the defense coordinator, to the rest of the defense. And to me, that was pretty risky, right? This is a make or break year for this franchise. They are tied for second in terms of longest playoff drought. They basically built this team to win now, adding guys like J.J. Watt, Rodney Hudson at center, E.J. Green at receiver, all guys in their 30s during the offseason. So basically, it's playoffs or bust for them. And by putting two young guys like that inside the middle of your defense, at the core of your defense, to me, that's a major risk. Because what happens if they just what if you know, David Collins just isn't, you know, he's kind of scared. Maybe the NFL game's too fast for him, you know, in week one or week two, whatever it is. You know, there's going to be an adjustment period. So what's going to happen when things go wrong? You know, I asked Vance Joseph, the Cardinals DC, at one point, how short of a leash are you going to have on him? Mm-hmm. And he said they're not. They're just going to let him play through it. And if it gets really bad, they can bring in Jordan Hicks, who's been their starter at inside linebacker the last couple of years, to kind of spell him for a series or two to kind of let them regroup, whatever. But to me, it's risky. These guys are, you know, they're young, they're inexperienced. That's a lot to handle for these two guys. But the flip side of that, they're super athletic. They're very good at what they do. They're just young.
And that's the thing. I know they're young, but as you mentioned, they're athletic. So you got, you know, matchups against these move tight ends, right? You look at the division. I mean, you got George Kittle right there. So that's somebody that they're going to have to match up with. So that's really interesting. You mentioned Jordan Hicks, though. And I know he was a little ticked off with how this thing has gone. How has he been, you know, as the veteran, the guy who was supposed to be that green dot, you know, the one who was supposed to have that defense kind of flow through him as the play caller? How has he been?
A little ticked off might have been an understatement. I mean, the dude was pretty hot, right? He was mad, and rightfully so. He's been one of the most reliable Cardinals. And not just reliable, durable Cardinals the last 2 years. He's been the heart and soul of this defense, kind of the brain center of this. And all of a sudden they're just like, hey, you're on the bench now. Just sit here and wait. You know, it was kind of like out of the blue. They just said to him, we found your replacement, when they didn't need to find his replacement. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's really handled it much better than I would have, right? Or much better than I kind of expected. He did request a trade this offseason, but, you know, he talked it through with the front office. He's talked about it with the guys, so, you know, Zaven Collins, and he's really kind of just, you know, taken this opportunity to mentor those guys like he was mentored as a rookie and as a young player. So the one thing that I think is helping the whole situation is that he is going to get on the field. We've seen a lot of three inside linebacker packages.
He was
just named a captain today, which, I mean, I don't know, like him and Chandler Jones, who also requested a trade. So I don't know if this is their way of saying they're trying to make amends or what. But, you know, those two guys were two of nine captains, which is crazy. But, you know, I've been really impressed with the way Jordan's handled this. Because coming into camp, before we kind of knew how he was going to be used, I really expected him to just kind of sit on the sideline, have the earpiece in, and not really do much. But it seems like he's going to be involved. He's going to get a lot of reps. Because kind of going back to what you just were talking about, you know, we're going to see Isaiah Simmons line up against a lot of these tight ends this year. He can play, he can drop back and play safety, he can get out there in the slot, he can play in coverage. So when that happens, I think we're going to see Jordan Hicks play a little more of that inside role and provide some of that stability and veteran experience that this team needs.
Exactly. And that's actually what I drew up from my whiteboard Wednesday. We kicked that off this week, and it was a look that I saw in the preseason where they had those three guys on the field at the same time. 12 personnel, right? And, you know, you see 12 personnel. You see it from the Rams at times. 49ers, definitely. Every once in a while, Seattle. So I do agree with you. You're going to see him get more time. So that's going to be interesting watching how all that play out. Now, I can't talk about Arizona's defense without getting into Buda Baker. And, you know, as you've seen him come in as a rookie and then, you know, over the past couple of years, just cement himself as a top-level defender. Well, what's next for him, in your opinion?
Oh, it's a great question. I mean, he's already reached such high heights, right? I mean, he's a multiple-time Pro Bowl. I think he's made a Pro Bowl in 3 of his 4 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we're going to see more out of him is kind of, not to get too inside baseball, but, you know, more of an improved on-ball coverage, right? He got his first career interceptions last season. I think we're going to see more of that ball hawking mentality, because, you know, the first couple of years at safety, when he was getting a lot of reps, he was really used inside the box. He was kind of moved all over the place. Then last year he started to drop back more than he had in the past, and I think we're just going to see that evolve. We're going to see him have that nose for the ball a lot like we saw of Tyrann Mathieu when he was here, and as we've seen from him, you know, in last couple of years as well. So I think we're just going to see, you know, Buda Baker's interceptions numbers, you know, improve. We're going to see his knockdowns improve. We're going to see his PBUs, you know, improve. So I think that's kind of the next step in that progression of being a totally dominant safety in this league, because we all know he can, you know, fly off the corner on a blitz. He can go up the middle. He can get in that box and mix things up. Now I think it's just handling his business on the backside of the defense, and that can really make him kind of that complete package.
And we're talking to ESPN NFL Nation Cardinals reporter Josh Weinfuss. Josh, staying on that defense, right? We're kind of bouncing around here, so I'm going to go back up front. And when you have this front here, right, like J.J. Watt, Chandler Jones, Marcus Golden, I mean, those are three legit just guys who go out there and bust stuff up. So how are they going to use these guys at the same time? Are you seeing Watt line up a bit more like on the interior, like a three tech? Is he lining up five? Where do you see this whole mix of guys working out?
Well, first, I'm going to say this. I would hate to be an offensive line coach, because you got to figure out how to block, how to chip, how to double some of these guys, knowing that you're going to have another one of these guys coming off the other side. So first, it's going to be a nightmare for teams. I've seen him being used kind of in a five and then out wide, right? So, we've seen him, you know, at times we've seen Marcus Golden and J.J. Watt on one side and then Chandler Jones on the other. I mean, that's like a wave of it's like a hurricane coming in waves, right? And who are you going to stop? Who do you choose to block, who do you want to give a double team to or a chip to of those three? And whoever you do, you're going to leave one either uncovered or single coverage. And that's a direct threat to the quarterback, right? I think if J.J. Watt is healthy this year, I think we're going to see him return to the type of level he was at when he was winning Defensive Player of the Year awards. I don't know if he's going to be as good, but he's going to be as close to that level as we've seen in recent years. He's had an incredible offseason of training. You know, I think he understands his limitations at this age. And the other thing is, he's playing alongside a guy who, when he last played a full season in Chandler Jones in 2019, he had 19 sacks.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think just having that pressure on both sides is, you know, it's going to let Watt do so much more than he's done in the past. You know, we can say the same thing on offense once we get there about, you know, AJ Green and DeAndre Hopkins. But on defense, you know, I think Watt's going to benefit quite a bit from having Chandler Jones, and vice versa. Jones is going to benefit quite a bit from having J.J. Watt.
Yeah, and it's crazy. You talk about these additions, right, J.J. Watt and A.J. Green, as you just touched on. Let's flip over to, the offensive side of the ball. And I don't know, man, tell me, like, did A.J. Green, like, did he jump in that pool, like in that movie Cocoon, and get young again?
Pretty close to it. I mean, here's what we've seen out of him. We've seen a 33-year-old who still has lightning quick feet, who has incredible hands, and can run like a gazelle. Like, is he as fast as he was 5 years ago? Probably not. But who is, right? He is going to, I think, all hinges on these guys staying healthy. And I know that's the case for every team, but more so with the Cardinals, because these guys are older, right? There's a lot of guys in their 30s. and they tend to break down quicker than guys in their 20s do. It's kind of a simple fact. If he can stay healthy for 16 games, I will put money that he has 1,000 yards receiving.
Hmm.
Because he's never been a number two receiver. Going back to Georgia, maybe going back to high school, he's never been a number two. So, I mean, this is kind of one of those situations where he's licking his chops coming out in week one, because kind of like what's an offensive line going to do with Watt and Chandler Jones? What's a secondary going to do? Are you going to roll your coverage to DeAndre Hopkins? Probably, because he's probably the best receiver in the game right now. And that leaves J.J. Watt one-on-one with a cornerback who's probably 5 inches shorter than he is. Or if you want to roll your coverage back over to Green after a couple of plays, you're leaving DeAndre Hopkins wide open. So they're both going to benefit because of the other. But I think, you know, Green, he hasn't played with a quarterback like Kyler Murray. He hasn't played alongside guys like he's playing alongside now. He's never played an offense like this. So I think you put all that together, it comes into a nice little package with a shiny bow. I think he's going to have a great year if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, and you mentioned he hasn't played with a quarterback like Kyler Murray. And one of the things, right, in talking to these guys, you know, whether it's Kevin Byard, Amani Hooker, Jeffrey Simmons, whoever it may be, Christian Fulton, is always, okay, well, you know, this week you have to really plaster because the play's never over. You always see Kyler Murray able to extend the play, go off schedule, freelance, et cetera. So have you seen, because as you mentioned, he hasn't played with a quarterback that really does that. So during camp, did you see them just kind of work on some of that off-schedule stuff, like knowing where each guy has to be and those type of things? Did you see that at all?
All the time. Oh. All the time. Maybe he was doing it more so during camp, but it seemed like Kyler was, you know, off and running pretty quickly, which I wouldn't be surprised if they said, you know, if a play looks like it's going to start breaking down, just go and see what happens. You know, because he knew he wasn't going to get hit. You know, he could have run for 1,000 yards in training camp. No one's touching him.
Yeah.
But we did see him go off schedule quite a bit, and we did see him, you know, throw on the run, you know, in those situations to AJ Green. So we started to experience kind of what that's going to be like. He obviously, we know what's going to be like with Hopkins, and I think these guys are starting to realize that when Kyler breaks containment and he starts to go left and right, You got to get open, right? You got to do what you got to do to get open, because at that point, the broken play, we're not, you know, all the routes kind of are out the window at that point. You got to get open. And one thing we learned today, actually, this is new, is that AJ Green at 6'4" is the tallest quarterback that Kyler Murray's ever played with. So that's going to help. You know, Kyler can literally throw it up to him and let him go get it. He can still, you know, jump. You know, he's not going to, you know, touch the top of the backboard or anything anymore, but he can still get, you know, elbow high probably. And, you know, so I think that's going to help in the red zone. I mean, it's going to help when Kyler's scrambling. So I think that that's going to be a combination that we're going to see evolve, I think, especially in the first half of the season as they get used to each other. But I think that could be something really special.
Last thing before we get you out of here, Andy Isabella, Rondell Moore, Christian Kirk. I mean, what's the outlook for that third receiver spot? I mean, I would imagine Rondell Moore is a guy they're trying to get as many touches as possible.
You are correct. I think it's going to be kind of a 3A, 3B type of situation between Rondell Moore and Christian Kirk. I think that, you know, Andy Isabella is in a weird situation because he missed 15 days of camp because of COVID. He was on the protocol twice. So that was a lot of time lost. He didn't play in any preseason games, yet he still made this roster because Cliff Kingsbury loves speed. But how much he contributes offensively, I think, still yet to be seen. I would expect Rondell Moore to take a lot of his snaps, a lot of his routes. So I think we're going to see, I mean, right now the top four receivers are, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, AJ Green, Rondell Moore, and Christian Kirk. And those last two can really be interchanged, you know, in the slot, which is where I think we're going to see them play mostly. So, beyond that, I think, you know, we're going to see a lot of, you know, running backs, not a lot of running backs. We're going to see either James Conner or Chase Edmonds line up a lot as that fifth receiver. So, I don't really know where Andy Isabella fits in the offense right now. I think he's going to be more of a special teams guy used periodically in offense or on offense.
Wow, that's a lot of speed and playmaking ability to have on the sideline, you know, when you're on offense. But, hey, man, you know what? Cliff Kingsbury, he knows his personnel better than me, but I'll be finding ways to get him to football too, because that dude's explosive. Well, Josh, man, I really appreciate it. I know, you know, we'll catch up at some point. And, man, just keep killing it the way you've been.
Hey, no, you keep killing it the way you've been. You've been crushing it more than all of us. So,
cut that out.
Keep it up, my man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, man.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. We're going to go ahead and hit this hotline. This is an interview that I've been looking forward to doing, so we're going to bring in our next guest, a special guest here, rookie linebacker for the Titans, Monty Rice. Monty, what's going on, man?
What's up? How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Like I said, I appreciate you coming on. I want to just kind of start with just, you know, what's it like for you to be a Titan? I know you grew up as a Titan fan. When you get the phone call and it's J-Rob telling you that, hey, man, you know, we're going to make you a Titan, well, what are some of the first things that you think of?
You know, it was a surreal feeling, you know, to get picked. I've been waiting on this moment since I was 9, and like you said, I had been a fan growing up when I was young, and, you know, it was LP Field back then, you know, so it's been a long time since then, but, you know, I just think it was like, you know, a dream come true, and I think the world, you know, always comes full circle.
No doubt. And who were some of the players that you, you know, really took a liking to coming up as a Titans fan?
I used to like, what was his name? Cortland Finnegan.
Ooh,
Chris Johnson. Was it Vanden Bosch?
Yeah.
Kyle Vanden Bosch. Yeah, those are like, you know, the one. And Keith Bullock as well.
Yeah, have you been able to get in touch with Bullock at all? Because he's around.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Okay, you're pretty much focusing on what it is you have to do here, you know, making your way. As you make that progression, right, from college, from the SEC at that to the NFL, so far in your experience, well, what would you say is the biggest difference?
I think the SEC is the closest thing that I'll prepare you for the NFL as far as talent, but it's still a learning curve. And I think it's just, you know, in the NFL, it's way more detailed. Like, you know, in college, it was detailed as well, but, like, in the NFL, like, every single thing we do is detailed. And, you know, I think this is what this coaching staff thinks that's, you know, what's best. And, you know, so I'm just willing to adapt and do whatever I need to do to help the team.
Now, obviously, you haven't played your first game, so your experience with this or exposure is limited. But has there been anything that kind of like surprised you? Like, wow, man, I didn't realize that it was like this.
I guess on defense, you got to play clean because, like, as far as like, you know, your technique and fundamentals, because don't throw flags on you if you know hit the receiver too far downfield or you know anything like that. Whereas in college, as long as the ball wasn't in the air, you were able to, you know, reroute the receivers or whatever. And here you can't really do that. So that's been a lot different as well.
That's really interesting. And working with Coach Vrabel, right, he's a guy that, you know, a lot of players seem to really draw close to you. How's your experience been just as far as getting to know him and just, you know, him putting those emotional deposits in and making you willing to, quote unquote, like run through a wall for him?
So, you know, he's a great guy. Ever since I met him, he hasn't changed. You can tell he's just trying to get the team better and get you better individually, and, you know, he's going to push you.
And we're talking to Monty Rice, linebacker, Tennessee Titans, rookie linebacker. As you begin to work with guys like Rashawn Evans, Jayon Brown, like I would imagine, you know, like you're kind of like a blend of both their games. And then even, you know, getting to see David Long as well. What are some of the things you've been able to pull from these veteran guys who are kind of like the, you know, the leaders of that LB room?
I've been able to, they just, you know, tell me, like, you know, if I mess up on something, they'll correct me, be like, hey, I want you like this, or I'll ask them a question, and, you know, they'll always answer it. So, you know, they've always been helpful, all three of them, and even, like, you know, the other guys that we've had in the room as well, like Nick Zudnar and people like them. So, you know, they've always been helpful, but, you know, just talking to, just being around all of them, you know, they've always told me, you know, it's good to learn, you know, every position so you can be able to plug in at any spot. And, you know, the more you can do, the better. So they've been very helpful in that aspect.
Have you noticed, like, a level of confidence with this team? Obviously, you weren't here last year, but even just, like, looking, this is my third year, or my fourth year, rather, here. And I've just seen, like, the confidence just continue to climb. But for you, like, jumping into this situation, is there, like, an air of confidence with this group?
I think there is, but you know, you still have to go out and put out a product on the field, and you know, but I think everyone believes in what the coaches are preaching, and we all believe in it. We all, you know, want to accomplish one thing, so I think we're all on the same page as far as that aspect.
What are you looking forward to most on Sunday, game day? I mean, this is going to be your first game, and like I said, in the stadium, you know, you grew up attending. You're going to be on the field now. So what is it that you're looking forward to the most about Sunday?
Well, I'm just looking forward to getting a win with my teammates and doing my job at a high level.
Is it tough, like, to find that balance? Like, I know there's so much anticipation, and you're going to be excited. You're going to be pumped. But, you know, as a linebacker, like, you can't run yourself out of position. You have to make sure that, you know, you play the game with discipline. Is it going to be tough, like, balancing that, knowing all the adrenaline and emotions you're going to have?
Obviously, you got to be able to, you know, you got to be controlled energy. You know, you can't get too high, never too low. It has to be neutral. You know, you got to find your, you know, positive soundtrack in your head. And that's the only way to, you know, be able to handle it all. Because if not, then, you know, you'll be too high or too low. And, you know, you won't be focused in and locked in on your job.
And then if we could kind of shift gears a little bit, because I've wanted to talk to you this about this for a bit. You know, obviously, you know, what happened to your brother and how that has impacted you. You know, like, how has that impacted you, I guess, would be the question. And then, you know, since then, you've been involved with different things. And how has that kind of, like, motivated you to kind of make your statement and hold your stand and the whole police brutality, everything, you know, along those lines?
Well, it's my cousin, but
okay,
it's been, you're good. You know, it's just, you know, you don't feel anyone's pain until it, you know, happens to you. You know, everyone says, you know, they feel your pain, but they don't know how it feels. But, you know, I just feel like, you know, it's made me a better person and just made me want to, you know, help those that I can and about the situation and just, you know, be a positive role model to the younger kids. And that's all I pretty much can do because you can't change the past. So, you know, that's just about it.
And then some people in those situations, like, they develop a bitter, you know, attitude towards authority, towards the, you know, the police and things like that. How have you managed to, you know, keep that balance to where, you know, you don't, I mean, it doesn't seem like outwardly you have that bitterness. So what's the key, like, to be able to, you know, manage that, deal with what happened, process it, and then move forward?
I would say when it first happened, I would say there was probably a lot of bitterness and, you know, pissed off and mad at the world. But, you know, I was 18 when that happened. So, you know, whatever you were doing when you were 18, I'm sure you didn't handle things the best way you should have either. But that's just how it goes. And as I'm older now, I realize, like, you know, got to be able to, you know, conduct myself in the right way in order to be a part of society. That's just how it works. No matter what happens, you got to be able to, you know, control what you can control and, you know, someone out there has it worse than me. I'll just keep that in the back of my head. So I just try to, you know, help educate those I can and just, you know, try to make people around me better and, you know, just do what I can to be positive.
And to go back to, you know, something more upbeat, right, the fans, the Titans fans, they seem to have taken to you. What has been your interaction like with the Titans fans? How do you like, you know, actually interacting with a group that you were once a part of?
You know, I think it's crazy to be on the other side now. I haven't interacted with them a ton. I don't interact with people a whole lot. But I just think, you know, it's going to be, you know, a good feeling on Sunday, you know, once we can, you know, just go out there and execute our job in a high level. And then, you know, coming off of COVID, I'm sure fans are going to be so excited to be back in the stands. So, you know, it's going to be a fun day.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Monty Rice, rookie linebacker with the Tennessee Titans. You'll see him on Sunday. Definitely, I appreciate you coming on and you know, have a safe, healthy season. And thanks again.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You got it.